Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. And we're going to be talking some heavyweight division today. Talking none other than the cash cow in the division, Anthony Joshua, and rumors that have surfaced via the Mirror in the UK, suggesting that promoters are planning a unification bout between Joseph Parker and Anthony Joshua once Joshua is successfully defends his title in October versus Khabib Pulev. So if this is something you're interested in, stick around, hit that thumbs up button, share the show, and don't forget the number to call in is 1-425-569-5241. International callers add Nestor Gibbs, that's N-E-S-T-O-R-G-I-B-B-S on Skype. We're going to go out to the Golden State to my co-host, the Hipster Hunter.
Dolla DiBiase Production.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
BoxingVoice.com. Yes, the hipsters and haters beware. And Anthony Joshua and Joseph Parker in July at Wembley Stadium would be a fantastic fight, I think. I know some people may think that it could be AJ maybe avoiding the winner of Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz. But Joseph Parker is still a top five heavyweight, I would say. Top six, top seven at worst. And a unification fight is always, I think, welcomed. And I think a big fight in Wembley in front of 90,000 people again would be massive. I think Joseph Parker going over to the UK, fighting Harry Fury, sort of set up this fight in a way and at least testing the markets over there for Joseph Parker. And I wouldn't be surprised if this does happen. If Joseph if Anthony Joshua beats Khabib Pulev in November, we're going to get this fight in July. So just can't wait to see what unfolds, what further news we get. And can we chop it up with you, Ness, and the callers?
I mean, putting on my promoter's hat, if I'm Eddie Hearn, this is what I want. Joseph Parker looked vulnerable. And if Deontay Wilder or Luis Ortiz get past each other, why go that route when there is a WBO title right here? I think it could happen, and I'm 100% sure they'll do the 90,000. Last numbers we received from the Pulev Joshua ticket sales were somewhere around 80,000. So I'm pretty sure Joseph Parker, being a title holder himself, they'll get to the 90 quite easy. I'm pretty sure that Pulev and Joshua will get to the 90 when it's all said and done before fight night. If these rumors are true, because where there's smoke, there's fire, do you think they're getting ahead of themselves, Matchroom and Joshua, or does Pulev not stand a chance no matter how far ahead Joshua's thinking?
No, I think Pulev does stand some of a chance. I think Pulev is a live dog. I think a lot of people are writing him off when we shouldn't. But I don't think it's wrong of Eddie Hearn and Matchroom to think this far ahead. If you're planning a 90,000-plus seat stadium event in July, you're going to need to start thinking about it now. Whether they put pen to paper, whether they start actually working towards it now, probably isn't happening, but at least they're thinking about it, which they should be. And I'm not surprised. And let's be honest, even let's say it's some miraculous way AJ loses to Kubrat Pulev, you don't think the rematch, and they could do the rematch in one belief with 90,000 in July? Like, it, you still need to set up that arena, make sure that date's locked. That is what I'm not surprised about. And I'm not surprised that they're looking for Joseph Parker to be that fight after Kubrat Pulev.
I mean, we're only 48 hours removed, and the London's Daily Mirror are reporting that representatives from New Zealand's Parker's and England's Anthony Joshua's people are already discussing title unification. I mean, can we believe this rumor? I know you and I were hardcore fans. This is a good fight. Like you said, top 10, top three heavyweights going at it. So we could actually turn this into wishful thinking, but is there any truth to it? I mean, do you think?
I have no idea.
Truth to it?
I think
there's obviously truth to your it. Opinion, you know?
No, yeah. I'm just saying that I don't have any fact. I haven't talked to Eddie Hearn or anyone from Duca about it, but I'm assuming there have been some talks. I'm not surprised at all there's been a phone call, if there has been a phone call. That wouldn't surprise me. How far these negotiations have gone, that's a little bit up for debate. I think there have been at least a few phone calls sent out. If I'm to believe that when Tom Lawfer said that Golden Boy called him three times in one day after the Triple G Canelo fight, I'm going to believe that after the Joseph Parker Huey Fury fight, either Eddie Hearn's people approach Joseph Parker or Joseph Parker's people approach Eddie Hearn. I'm not surprised at all. It's a money fight. It is a big money fight. It may not be the biggest money fight in the division, but it definitely is a big fight in the division.
Totally agreed. In the meantime, in the interim, let's play, you know, this game of these rumors being true. What should the winner of Ortiz Wilder do in the interim? Should they go after Dillian White to further?
Yes. That is the one fight that probably makes the most sense. You can maybe argue like a Bryant Jennings, but even then, Dillian White is the way to get to the UK market. If I'm Wilder or Ortiz, whoever wins that fight, I want to get that AJ fight or the winner of AJ Parker. And the way to get that is Dillian White. You beat him, you are almost guaranteed that AJ fight.
And I quote, he's a good champion, but I'm sure I could bring out his weaknesses. Parker said when talking about Anthony Joshua, nothing that I've seen in a Huey Fury fight tells me that he's going to be able to penetrate the thing-like body of Anthony Joshua, thing from the Fantastic Four, right? I don't know. But since you brought up Bryant Jennings, let's quickly go over our second part of this show. The fact that the co-promoter of Joseph Parker, Bob Arum of Top Rank Promotions, wants Joseph Parker versus Bryant Jennings. The CEO, Bob Arum, is very interested in matching up Bryant Jennings and the current WBO champion, Joseph Parker. But if the rumors are true from the Mirror, I'm pretty sure that Bob Arum cannot put a, you know, lucrative enough offer to keep Joseph away from that Anthony Joshua fight.
And also, I don't think Joseph takes a fight in the meantime if AJ is right there. One, he just beat his mandatory in Huey Fury, so he doesn't need to fight his mandatory. He can have a voluntary fight next. That could be unification. So I see Joseph Parker sitting out for a bit and waiting for that summer date. Or at least waiting to see what happens with AJ Pulev. He has to at least wait until that date. And I forget what the exact timing is. AJ Pulev in October and Wilder Ortiz in November, right?
Yes.
Then I assume that we won't really know what happens between those top three guys, whoever the winner of those two fights, and then obviously Parker, until maybe a week or two after Wilder Ortiz. Once Wilder Ortiz happens, a week or two after that, we're going to get a bunch of news about the heavyweight division. I can almost guarantee it.
Now, that's a lot of months, too, for Joshua. We're talking about 9 months off unless he's going to get something in before. And he has proven to do that, right? He does stay very active, 3-4 month turnaround. But if he fights in October 28th and nothing happens until Joseph and him see themselves in the ring in July, that's probably one of the biggest layoffs he's had.
True, but we also know they've been heading that way. And that's just a thing that all top...
That way you mean when you're on that level, only fight twice a year?
Yeah. When you're on that level, you only fight twice a year. Eddie Hearn has already talked about him only fighting twice a year. And like you said, stars get that. When you're Mayweather, when you're Pacquiao, when you're these guys, you get two fights a year. And that's it.
But Eddie Hearn, take it with a grain of salt. On our interview that he did with Sean Zatel discussing the Jacobs... I guess, blueprint, plan, what he plans to do with Jacobs. He wants to keep him active 3 times a year. He's saying a guy like Jacobs, this story, he's a star. So if he thinks Jacobs is a star, he already knows Joshua is a star.
It's
the truth, Matt. We're talking about a guy that's filling up arenas at 90, 80,000. Like, you're not.
No. I'm not questioning AJ's stardom. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Neither am I. I'm just saying, I think that Eddie Hearn sees ticket sales and why put this guy to fight twice when you can put him to fight 3 times, especially if you're going to slide him in there with the likes of, like, you know, Pulev and stuff.
A couple points. When you bring up Jacobs, Jacobs isn't nearly close to the level of stardom of Joshua or Canelo, those guys that fight twice a year. So even though Eddie Hearn is saying Jacobs is a star, sure, Eddie Hearn, you're his promoter, you're supposed to say that, but we all know that his star power is, or stardom, is very different than Joshua's. So they are different levels. So I don't expect Jacobs to only fight twice a year. I expect him to fight more like 3 or 4 times a year because he's not at that level. Also, what was your second point again? Sorry, what was your... It's about Jacobs.
Eddie Hearn wouldn't mind Joshua fighting 3 times a year because of the amount of money that he
generated. Oh, that's right. I also think that when you make that money, let's say I'm Joshua, not Eddie Hearn. If I'm Joshua, if I'm making that money, I'm that level of a star. I'm doing a lot of different things in my off time to create a bigger brand. I'm going out to different things. I'm starting to invest in different companies and sport teams or whatever it is. You know, he's going to start venturing out away from boxing because he's that level of a star, similar to other stars. So even though he's maybe only fighting twice a year, him and maybe Eddie Hearn are making money outside of boxing through other ventures because of his star power. They might leverage that to other things.
Now, I know you and I tossed around the Dillian White option. I see people in our chat. Shout out to you guys live in the chat. Hit that thumbs up button. If you're watching this on YouTube, doesn't matter if it's present, future, or past, thumbs up always helps with the visibility of the show. But I'm seeing guys saying, what the hell has Dillian White done to earn a shot? And quickly, I'll give my 2 cents. It's more about what he represents and marketability, and not that he's earned the shot. Matt, you?
I would say it's more of who else is there. If it is Joshua and Parker in July, and let's say, for argument's sake, Deontay Wilder beats Luis Ortiz, who's Deontay Wilder expected to fight next that would be credible, that would lead to another big fight? You know, who else is there? There really isn't that many guys. You want to bring out Povetkin? I mean,
Brazil beats...
Unless Brazil does something with Stavern, yeah. And even then, I think that's arguable that Brazil is a better fight than Dillian White.
No, not that he's better. Well,
More deserving, you could say that.
He's been in there with better opposition for sure.
That depends. I mean, like, Stavern's a Chisora, in my opinion. So it's one of those where...
I mean, Brazil and Dillian White, their resumes, I mean... Dillian White only has AJ and Chisora, and then Brazil has AJ, Izunu, and now he'll have Stavern, you know, and who else does he have on there? He's got someone else. Got another little
scout. Did he beat Amir Mansour?
He did. He did. Didn't he break his jaw and make him bite his tongue?
Yeah, something like that.
He did. He did.
But I just think it's more of a, there's really not another great option. If there was another great option out there other than Dylan White for the winner of Wilder Ortiz, if AJ Parker happens, then I would say that fight would be feasible. But the White fight is the most feasible fight.
Well, all right. So just really quick to recap, obviously, the Mirror and multiple sources are reporting that both parties on Joseph's end and on Anthony Joshua's end are negotiating for a July fight in Wembley Arena where they can pack another 90,000. But also the co-promoter of Joseph Parker, Bob Arum, seems to be interested in pitting Brian Jennings, who only suffered a loss to Luis Ortiz by knockout and went 12 rounds with Vladimir Klitschko. And just, what, is he coming off a two-year layoff now? Getting a, what was it, two-round knockout over Daniel Martz back in Nebraska on the Terrence Crawford undercard. So that's who Joseph will probably end up facing if the Anthony Joshua fight doesn't happen. Because if I'm Joseph, you know, I think that Joshua Wilder fight, those are always there. He could actually stay on the outside, kind of Lucien Boutte style fight of Brian Jennings and Wolves sorted out.
I think he's had his last three fights have been either very close or very underwhelming.
Another reason why Bob would probably put him in with Brian Jennings instead of taking him to the top tiers.
Do you potentially risk that cash cow that you've sort of
absolutely
built up
when you're putting
with Brian Jennings? Hold on, or do you cash him out with AJ?
No, because you signed Brian Jennings, so you still got that time.
Well, Brian Jennings. Again, that's what Aaron wants. I'm talking more about, like, if I'm Parker's team, if I'm Duco, I'm not doing that. I'm making that AJ money. Fuck the Brian Jennings money.
No, for sure.
We might lose to Brian Jennings, for God's sake. Let's go get the AJ money. We lose to AJ. We can always bounce back.
Brian Jennings, but I think Brian Jennings is an active heavyweight in terms of output, especially when he's fighting someone his size. Joseph Parker's down to a size. It'd be interesting if it's an option. Not that it's my first choice before you get the panties in a bunch. All right, buddy? I see you already, like, you know, where's Wildo and shit, ready to pop out. But listen, we're going to go to the sponsors. Then we'll go to the callers. Anything you want to add before we do all that?
No, I'm good. We can go to the sponsors.
All right. Well, remember the number to call in. If you want to voice your opinion here on the Voice of the People hotline is 1-425-569-5241. We're talking Anthony Joshua, Joseph Parker, July, Wembley Arena, 90,000. But definitely a rumor mill show. So, first, a word from the sponsors.
Fight fans, don't leave the decision in the hands of the judges. Download the Throwdown scoring app and receive live scoring, CompuBox stats, boxing predictions from other users around the world. Head over to your iPhone App Store or your Google Play Store and download it absolutely free.
Going out to New Jersey, talk to us.
Fellas, the landscape of the heavyweight division, I'm guessing that, you know, Wilder's going to fight Ortiz. The next fight should be, if Joshua fights, I don't think he has to fight Parker right now. I think if he takes a mid to low level opponent, knowing that the next fight is going to be Deontay Wilder, we could wait till Wilder finishes with Ortiz and line that fight up. Because if that doesn't happen, then that means Deontay Wilder's got to go through Ortiz and then perhaps Stavern or Dillian White. And then we got to give Anthony Joshua Parker and then the bum. So instead of just clogging it up, I think that should be the next fight. I mean, Ortiz is a more than credible enough opponent for Wilder to line up that fight. Unless you're talking fight metrics in terms of the UK audience, he might need a Dillian White, but just off of pure boxing, that's the next fight. I ain't going to hold it up. That's my call.
I mean, good call as always, brother. Thanks for calling in, giving your opinion on this. We're going out to a first-time caller. Looks like the 708-503, 708-503, first-time caller.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, brother? First-time calling in? All right, let me get and play this first-time. Let me play this first-time caller intro for you. You get and let the world know your name, where you're calling from. You can jump into your call.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his professional debut.
Hey, my name is Tony, calling from Chicago. My first time caller, long time fan of the show. I always wanted to say this, man. Nestor Gibbs. You a bitch. You always been a bitch, man. Fuck you and your whole family, you ho.
Whoa. I'm getting popular, man.
Yo, what did you do to Tony?
That's not the normal, Tony.
That's not the normal. Yo, but Tony, I mean, you could have been smart and just, like, not call with an actual number.
Well, he wanted to get it off his chest, man.
He really wanted to get it off his chest.
Let's go out to the UK.
Nasty Productions.
BJ was going to beat me, didn't you? You predict he's going to beat me. He got smashed.
Why is Walter so damn nice, brother? This guy has been pro for like 8 years, 9 years. If Walter wants some of his work, he can definitely get it on ASAP.
BoxingWiz.com.
Damn, Tony needs to take a chill pill. What the hell?
We about to reverse dial Tony. He should have never called in with his number. I'm gonna prank call him all fucking night. All night we're calling you back, you fucking dumb fuck.
What the hell? Jesus. Yeah, first time caller. And then craziness. Anyway.
At least he was polite and like waited for us to like play the sound clip, you know, play the bell.
Crazy.
Yeah, props. He went through the first time caller's intro.
Yeah, props to him. Shout out to Tony.
Anyway, yeah, about AJ. I mean, I don't know whether someone, you know, like Canelo or someone needs to learn from this. This guy's gonna, if this is true, that's gonna be 200,000 people in attendance for his last three fights. Now, you know, if Canelo's the next big thing, he needs to be doing that big Dallas Cowboys stadium and things like that, because I mean, it's just insane. We've not seen this. 200,000 people in three fights going to watch, you know, a boxing match in what many people will see. I mean, he's done it now, 80,000 with Pulev, and that's just proven his stardom. And I think most people see Parker as just a walking title for anyone that wants to go and grab it. I know Fury didn't, according to the judges, and that's, you know, debatable. But, yeah, this is just crazy. If this is true, you know, we've definitely got just the biggest star in boxing, I think.
So all he needs right. to sell 2 million pay-per-view buys at the price of $80, and then we can call him the biggest star in boxing.
Okay, Matt, if you want to argue, it's fine, but why aren't they putting on big fights for these big stars in America then, in these big stadiums? Why are you just filling out?
Because he's making more money selling for 14,000 people.
Yeah, man, he get more revenue from his gate, buddy.
I don't know how much the gate was. I forget to hear about it, but he must have made at least 50 million.
Mayweather-McGregor didn't even break Canelo Mayweather gate. Canelo brings
again,
that paper.
It's the boxing fans are missing out on these big fights.
Who, 100%.
No, you're absolutely right.
I agree with that. No, you're right about that part.
Right. I've been crying, put it in a stadium forever, but every time I say Texas or something, people are like, no, you're kidding me. It's hot over there. The sun. Who wants to watch it on a Jumbotron? Like, Americans are fat and lazy, bro.
Yeah, well, you know, we can't all, you know, get sponsored.
Uh-oh,
and
that's
free
it.
Tickets and just, you know, get fed free drinks and go and watch fights.
That's right. Not everyone.
You guys got better drinks in the UK. Do they give you guys hard liquor or is it just beers?
No, you can get hard.
You could get hard liquor at the fight. I don't know what we're talking about now.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, but there's not much selection, man. There's not much selection at the fights.
What's a lot of selection?
I mean, the normal couple of
like a normal bar, like a normal
bar. Yeah, like a normal bar.
Never that at a theater.
Let's say like three good name vodkas, three good name tequilas, three good name.
They had Absolute, Grey Goose, and I think one other vodka. They had some shit there, man. I'm just saying. I had a good time.
Or anything in Barclay. Listen, Rob, let me let you go get to my – oh, go ahead.
Yeah, all I was going to say is you've seen what happens at UK events. The whole crowd singing fucking Sweet Caroline, so everyone's drunk out of their mind before they even hit the stadium. So we're all singing fucking Sweet Caroline, mate, so – drink isn't a problem. It's usually consumed way before the fight and long after as well.
All right, Rob, make sure you holler at your cousin Eddie Hearn and tell him to put Daniel Jacobs in a UK fight. You think that's going to happen, Matt? You think we'll see Jacobs out there? Or maybe versus Billy Joe Saunders, right? Since I seen a headline where Hearns did say Saunders is an option.
Could you put Jacobs and Saunders at either MFC or the Barclays?
But how could you make Jacob Saunders when Saunders is with Frank Warren, Frank Warren's Box Nation, and Matchroom is Sky Sports?
I don't think the Saunders fight happened. I think it's the David Lemieux fight. I think we're going to get the David Lemieux fight in New York.
So you think November 4th, he's getting a big name?
Yes.
You're out of your mind.
Hold on. Hey. Do what I think? I have no idea. This is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping he gets the David Lemieux fight.
Hope is a different...
Sorry, different. I should clarify that. What I honestly... Like a Luis Arias does make sense, and that wouldn't surprise me.
Yo, I threw that out there in the gym, and everybody was like, "Arias, get stopped, yo." And I text Arias this morning. I'm like, "Yo, Arias, yo, you got time for an interview?" He called me, but I was in the gym sparring the way I do. And but I want to get him on the show. Like, I want to do just an episode with him on that because guys like you are counting them out. I mean, and some fighters too, right? Like, because I'm like, damn, he's got a very underrated body attack. But they're like, yo, man, come on, Jacob's triple G power.
Luis Arias is a great prospect, but a Jacobs fight would be him skipping a few levels. Not saying that he can't win. We saw Jeff Horn beat a Manny Pacquiao, and he skipped a bunch of levels. We've seen that before. We've seen it happen. It's just rare, and we usually don't like it. We like guys earning that shot. That's really all it is.
True indeed. We're going out to Orlando, Florida. Majid, how's it going down there, brother? Did you make it okay with the storm and all?
Yeah, man. I ain't even lose no power. I was good.
Oh, man. Thank God. So talk to me, brother. What do you think about this topic here?
I mean, to be honest with you, when I heard it, I naturally just didn't feel happy about it. You know, I mean, I think Parker is good, but it's like right now I want to see that AJ versus Wilder shit so bad that me hearing that just mean, all right, if you win this next fight, we're going to have to still wait for that Wilder fight a little bit longer. So now I'm just curious to know how long we're going to have to wait. That's it.
All right, Majid. Well, thanks for calling in. But I can answer that, man. I think Deontay Wilder's been clear. Was this hashtag 2017 or 2018 unification, right? I think he always knew it had to be 18.
I forget, to be honest. I think it was at one point 2017 to be.
But at this point, though, Matt, I think, you know, the way that everything panned out, no title shot for him in November. It's not like he's going to turn around in December. It's obviously December. And now with this news, Joseph Parker in mid-summer, I mean, Wilder only makes sense again in November, December.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Unless you're Eddie Hearn and you're milking and you're like, no, Wilder.
You throw a big baby Miller in the mix.
We're going to give you somebody in the winter, and then we're going to come back, do an open stadium 2019. Because they'll waste their open stadium with Joseph.
It's unless not necessarily a waste.
They need to go to another country, man, the way the fucking heavyweights used to do it, bro.
Well, I mean, they did talk about that one point. They did talk about AJ coming to America.
No.
He flew to Vegas. Remember, he met with the MGM owners.
Not America, though. Whatever, man. Take it slow. Like
Nigeria, wherever country's from.
Like, if it's going to be Wilder and AJ at the end of 2018 for all the do it big, man. Let's go to another country for that shit.
I'm down.
Let's get out to our last caller of the day. We're going to wrap this one up. It was a spontaneous show. Remember to head on over to patreon.com/TheBoxingVoice for more exclusive content. We put out a bunch of Border Wars content and some sparring for you. And now, Boston, Massachusetts.
First of all, let me say, I don't play Showtime to see you all there, not even putting a goddamn motherfucking effort. If I want to see two motherfuckers just fight, I pick up a fight with somebody in the street. Don't need that shit. You don't love that form I do? Just move along. Gone. Fuck you. Next. What a great show. Thumbs up, donate.
Yo, listen. Eddie Hearn is an evil genius. This man might as well just send Wilder to Guantanamo Bay or some shit. So he's going to torture Wilder. Maybe we're going to see the fucking AJ Wilder in 2020, if we're lucky. They're going to milk this shit. And you know what? That will be like a fucking spoon of your own medicine to Wilder. The same way that we have to wait for you to fight a couple names, now they're going to make you wait. I guess karma is the bitch. That's my goal, everybody out there. Support, donate, enjoy Patreon.
All right, Georgie, thanks for calling in. He kept it clean this time around. New improved Georgie. I like what I'm hearing, man. Final thoughts. Low energy. That wasn't low energy. I'm going to give you low energy. I'm going for a two a day, about to put in these miles. Final thoughts. I'm with Georgie. 2019, 2020, man. You got to milk these situations. Guys like Anthony Joshua and Canelo, they only come around once every couple of generations. You see, you're missing Mayweather now that he's gone. I heard his little interview. We should have did a show on that. Someone's like, hey, Mayweather, you need to fight Triple G. He's like, yo, I'm retired, man. Yo, it's hilarious, that video. But, yeah, man, I think that we need to build it. We need to build, especially if Matt is saying, oh, AJ coming to the U.S. If AJ is in the U.S. versus Wilder, it doesn't do 2 mil. They need to build it so that the fight fans have that sense of fear from both men, the way that they had with Canelo and Golovkin, so we could get at least a million, at least a mil. It's a heavyweight fight, man. It should do big, big numbers. That's my final thoughts, man. I don't mind if this happens in July. I just hope that Wilder equally, or Lewis Ortiz equally, get a bigger fight. Whoever is on the opposite side of AJ gets a equally big fight to raise their profile as well, to only make that unification of undisputed champion much more bigger. I'm your host, Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. Follow my daily vlog of fitness and boxing as I go every day to Jersey Boy Boxings with Glenn Tapia, Kendall Holt, Hakeem Nurse, Wellington Romero signed to The Rock. He's going to be actually fighting on October 19th, same date as Glenn Tapia taking on Gabriel Rosado. Sergey Dovchenko trains out of my gym, and Marcus Brown. So you never know what you find on my blog, or should I say vlog, because it's video. But yeah, passing it to Matt.
My final thought. I think AJ can do whatever he wants. I think AJ is the star. I think AJ is the man in the division, at least. You can definitely make an argument he's the man in the sport. So when you're on that level, you're going to do what you want. And a Parker unification instead of the winner of Deontay Wilder, Lewis Ortiz, makes financial sense. It makes career sense. It makes promotional sense. So I think we're probably going to get that. I think these rumors have a lot of smoke to them. I think these rumors are most likely very true. And just depends on what happens in November and in October. And then obviously we're going to find out what the future of the division is, what the landscape of it is, what are the paths for both Wilder, Ortiz, the winner of that fight, and the winner of Joshua and potentially Parker to eventually meet. And I think that's going to be a journey that, it's going to be shorter than what Ness thinks. I think 2019 is the latest it happens. I don't think it happens 2020 or beyond. I think that's almost impossible with the way the division is made up at this point. But I'm Matt Thibson. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram, and my MMA podcast, Mixed Combat Radios on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace.
Peace.